This video is a little different, and just for the interested, since there is nothing new here. So feel free to skip this one if it's not your cup of tea. Spooky season videos commence tomorrow evening. This is a response to Angry Astronaut on this subject, and is in no way meant to disrespect him or Simon Holland. Indeed, I had a conversation with Angry Astronaut yesterday about this. I do not condone any attacks or anything, this is just a civil discussion, and posting of the source materials and why I think the way I do. And yes, I would have a discussion with these gentlemen on the subject. Before that, I'll just state my position. My beef is simply with incorrect information. Because all this really accomplishes is to make SETI scientists gun-shy about publicly reporting signals of interest below the Rio scale of 2, which BLC-1 is very much below that. Instead, I will keep it strictly to reality and the facts, and illustrate why SETI at large does not feel this candidate signal is a good candidate for an alien signal, and give the sources for anyone interested in digging deeper. Now, I do agree with Angry Astronaut that BLC-1 should be looked for again, no harm in that. And indeed, Proxima Centauri is regularly looked at by multiple teams, and also for general radio astronomy because that star is sometimes a radio-loud flare star, which yields a lot of information about red dwarf stars and their flaring habits. But that also puts a gigantic, spurious radio source in your star system, interfering with any signals you might be getting. And if it is a communication signal intended for us, they put it next to the wrong star, because exactly right when that signal was detected, Proxima Centauri was shooting out a giant broadband optical and radio flare, which means any detection during that can naturally be called into question on the basis of stellar physics, as pointed out by Andrew Simeon years ago. There are links to all sources in the description below. The source here was a flare type 4 burst event from Proxima Centauri and implications for space weather by Andrew Zick and colleagues. And you'll note that this event happened in April and May of 2019, the exact same time as the observation of BLC-1 was done. That's if the signal actually came from Proxima Centauri. More on that in a bit. As an aside, do not put a radio transmitter next to a star shooting out flares like this. It's not a showstopper if you can put it over one of the poles of the star, perhaps, but not a great bet. It's a very damaging environment. There are far more stable, close-by stars to do this from, if your goal is contacting humans. But they may not even know about the humans because of the inverse square law. A misunderstanding about SETI and our visibility is that very few signals would be easily detected past 2 light-years from Earth. You will not pick up our radio stations, because they broadcast at a maximum, by law in the US at least, of 100,000 watts for clear channel class stations. Aliens at Proxima Centauri will not see that, unless they have a radio telescope the size of Long Island. Not impossible, interferometry exists, but if you're going to build that, you should just do it in our Oort cloud. You'll get better results, because about the best you can hope for at a distance is a carrier wave, or a raw radio radar signal, and the Arecibo signal. But that has propagated past Proxima Centauri. And if they had their telescope offline for maintenance or pointed in the wrong direction, that very short interval of time that signal was pulsed out, all of 3 minutes, they wouldn't have seen it. Also worth noting is that it wasn't specifically pointed at Proxima Centauri, another issue. The signals that would be seen at Proxima Centauri tend to be things like very powerful radar used for mapping asteroids. The problem is that there really was only one transmitter capable of doing that, which was a transmitter mounted on the Arecibo radio telescope. FAST currently doesn't have this capability. And as we all know, Arecibo collapsed in 2020, and those kinds of signals, firstly, didn't really repeat. They were random radar signals and the Arecibo message. And they have also propagated past Proxima Centauri at this point. From their perspective, we have gone rather quiet. Now to the next citation. This is the original paper that announced the signal from Breakthrough Listen by Shane Smith and colleagues, entitled A Radio Signature Search Towards Proxima Centauri Resulting in a Signal of Interest. The first thing to note here is that it may not have been from Proxima Centauri, and that was known from the start. The Parkes radio telescope's beam, meaning its field of view as it were, detected the signal from a general area of 16 arc minutes, or 1/4 of a degree, which is half the angular diameter of the moon, as we see it from Earth. Proxima Centauri happened to be in this rather large circle, but so are a lot of other potential sources. So it was never actually proven to even be from that system, just that general area of the sky, which was also a problem with the WOW signal. The second thing to note is that the conclusions of the paper is that the signal, while highly interesting, it really was an odd signal that looked like what you might expect from an alien source, at least in some ways, suffered from enough problems from the outset that the authors of the first paper concluded it was probably interference. And that brings us to the next citations. There was a sister paper released at the same time detailing how this was interference. This paper is entitled Analysis of the Breakthrough Listen Signal of Interest BLC1 with a Technosignature Verification Framework by Sophia Sheik and colleagues. Basically, they found other signals known to be human interference that looked like BLC1. In short, they detailed that it looks like a harmonic signal originating in a clock oscillator, meaning one of our satellites. It was also widely noted at the time that the signal looked consistent with a satellite in a Molnaya orbit that can do this. What it didn't look like was a signal from a planet around Proxima Centauri because the Doppler shifting was inconsistent with that. Now the natural question is, was this a narrowband signal? Yes, it was. So are the vast majority of human radio transmissions. Most interference is narrowband, but it does scream technology because broadband transmission is expensive and wasteful. You don't want your radio station smearing across the dial for no reason. It would raise the electric bill and bleed into other stations. Same with satellites, which have limited transmission power, no reason to waste it. The problem is that we do not currently know all of the ways that nature can produce a narrowband signal. We know it can happen, masers do it, and the recent work with the WOW signal shows small hydrogen clouds can do it, which we didn't know was possible a year ago. What else lies within stellar plasma physics that can produce a narrowband signal is still unknown. But it may be possible for that to happen under certain conditions, such as a flaring red dwarf. That's always going to be a pall hanging over this signal. Now, for some corrections, specifically two. The first is that BLC1 was somehow related to SETI at home. So we contacted Dr. Dan Werthamer, who will be appearing on Event Horizon in the coming month to discuss this, along with some other scientists to clear this up. But Dr. Werthamer has given permission to be quoted here. Dr. Werthamer is a radio astronomer at the University of California, Berkeley, is involved with Breakthrough Listen, and was the co-founder and chief scientist of SETI at Home, and states in an email to my producer Ross the following. None of this has anything to do with any SETI at Home candidates. Further, he states, I've seen this made-up story posted in a few places. Thanks for checking on this. This is a totally fabricated story. There's no truth to any of this. It's likely someone made this up as deliberate disinformation. Lies in parentheses. SETI researchers agree that BLC1 is caused by radio frequency interference, and then gives the link I have provided to the Sheik and colleagues paper. He also states that none of this has anything to do with an Italian mathematician, and ends with, you are welcome to quote me if you like. Not a secret source here, folks. The Italian mathematician or statistician is actually rather puzzling. Yes, those exist. One of them involved in SETI is Dr. Claudio Macconi, or perhaps one of his group. I've interviewed him on Event Horizon. But the thing is, his candidate signal is the wrong signal. It wasn't BLC1. It was a detection by the Rattan 600 telescope in Russia, which was later found to be interference. And the signal came from the wrong part of the sky. This signal was in the constellation Hercules in the northern hemisphere sky, and BLC1 was Centaurus. You can't even see the Alpha Centauri system from much of the northern hemisphere, and if you can, it's low on the horizon. If anyone can offer a clarification on who that Italian mathematician is, I'd love to hear it. The next comes a clarification put out on IFL Science from Breakthrough Listen on this issue from several days ago. In it, Dr. Andrew Simeon is quoted thus, there have been no redetections or other developments with respect to BLC1, which alter the conclusions in our 2021 publications. In short, nothing new happened. Now, one area to address is Astron. I did not address this in the original video because they don't have a lot out there on what they're going to do with SETI, other than work with LOFAR. Fair enough, but there's a problem. there's a very obvious reason to look for BLC1 again. And again, is interference. The signal was never really a candidate to begin with. It was termed a signal of interest, and it was. It was a very unusual signal that mimicked what might be expected from aliens. And it passed the wagging test. You point the radio telescope at your source and then move it off target and then reacquire it. The signal would have been dumped if that hadn't happened, because when you do that with Earth-based interference, not necessarily satellites, but on Earth, the telescope will see it everywhere it looks. Now to illustrate this, look at this signal. You can see the signal is extremely narrowband. Think so narrow that even nature would have trouble creating this. In fact, the most narrowband natural signal is 4 times wider than this. But look carefully. This signal has ears on each side of the main signal. Those are side lobes. Any SETI radio astronomer seeing those would immediately get chills. A very narrowband signal with side lobes. Side lobes are information. This signal has a message. It's not a dial tone. It's a conversation and has modulation. This is not nature. So how do you know this isn't from Earth? Notice how the signal shifts from left to right with time. That is the Doppler effect of the Earth rotating. This does not originate from Earth. This is coming from space. Now we know this signal is artificial because of its characteristics, but we also know the source. This is Voyager 2. But this gets more problematic. There was a signal detected from the star HIP 65352 that initially looked interesting. It did not pass the wagging test, but it was slightly drifting in the Doppler effect. Very puzzling, but since even though it was unfamiliar and weird, it turns out it was just a really wacky form of modulation coming from something on Earth with a bad oscillator. The point here is, SETI is really, really, really difficult, and it's unlikely Astron will announce finding aliens without having their colleagues take a second, third, and fourth looks, and confirming it is scientifically problematic. Not doing that is suicide in SETI. And it's far more likely that if they are still looking for this signal, and if they found it again, they've further constrained what its source is in order to tell the SETI community what to set their algorithm to filter out so no one makes this mistake again. Finally is the elephant in the room. Wise said it's highly unlikely that the first alien transmission you receive will be from the next star system over. Has a lot of reasons. The first I already mentioned. If an alien civilization wants to spy on Earth, don't do it from 4 light-years away. Just put a probe in the solar system that we can't see, which isn't hard because something the size of a Buick in a solar system that dwarfs the size of its own sun is not likely to be found by Homo sapiens for thousands of years, if ever. Needle in a haystack is not even close. Unless it's transmitting right at Earth, it's finding a needle somewhere on Earth, could be anywhere, the very first moment you're capable of going to all points on Earth, including the summit of Mount Everest, to look for the needle. But there is a worse problem. It's one of the fundamental underlying principles of scientific thought in astronomy. It's known as the Copernican Principle, and was proposed 500 years ago as a response to Ptolemaic Earth-centrism. Initially they thought, alright, observations seem to be showing that Earth is orbiting the Sun like the rest of the planets, so the Sun must be the center of the solar system. Or as Galileo rather interestingly put it, to paraphrase, the Earth is part of the dance of the stars, not the sump where the universe's filth and ephemera collect. Broadly, it simply means we occupy no particularly special position in the universe. Looks the same every direction we look, and we're part of that. And that's a problem for aliens at Proxima Centauri. And this final paper covers it, and the authors are Amir Siraj and none other than Avi Loeb, and they're right. For BLC1, you have to assume without any real evidence that we occupy a special time and place in the universe against the Copernican principle. This principle is good for astrobiology. It means that we're not special, neither are the aliens, so they probably are all over out there. But it also indicates that the likelihood of them being in the next star system over, and bear in mind, it wasn't always the closest system. The proper motion of our solar system and the Alpha Centauri system are going in different directions. We are cars passing on opposite sides of the highway. That for us to see the civilization at the exact moment we are capable of receiving radio signals yield odds of 10 to the negative 8th. Better off buying lotto tickets, you got a much better chance. even if the galaxy is full of aliens. And I'll leave it at that. For everyone else, we return to our normal video schedule tomorrow night.